The fourth Sunday after Epiphany. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love does no evil to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. The gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus got into a boat, and his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was covered by the waves. But he was asleep. So his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But Jesus said to them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there came a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. It seems like about every week somebody passes on something to me, either in the email or something at the coffee hour. It's the latest conspiracy theory. And now that we are entering into the election season, they will probably only increase. A good conspiracy theory is always enjoyable to listen to. But we have to remember, conspiracy theories and rumors of conspiracy are just that. They're rumors. You know, every time I hear one, people email them to me and I read them. We always have to take them with a grain of salt and really look and see what our Lord says, what God says about conspiracies. Now, this is in the Douay Rheims version of the Bible. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 12. Say ye not a conspiracy, for all that this people speaketh is a conspiracy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, let him be your dread, and he shall be a sanctification to you. Do not say conspiracy, for let the Lord your God be your fear. Oftentimes, conspiracy theories and this type of talk is put forward, and really what it is it's a type of fear. It's a kind of fear. Something is presented either in the past, this group of people are plotting in the past or plotting now in order to do something that will negatively affect our life, our society, the church, or something like that. It's fear. This is the foundation of these. Now, I'm not saying that conspiracies don't exist. I'm not saying that these things aren't true. But we have to understand how they work. Fear is something that arises in us when there is an evil that we think is going to befall us. It is not an evil that has already befallen us. If the evil is already upon us and we cannot overcome it, then we have sorrow. But fear is something in the future. It might be long in the future, or it might be immediate in the future. Nevertheless, that is this type of fear. You know, a good example is to think about a little child. In their bed, they wake up, 3 a.m, something woke them up, and then they become fearful. They hear a noise, they think someone's in their room. There's all kinds of fear that beset a little child. And yet, has anything happened to them? Absolutely nothing. Had they not woken up, they would have slept through that night and nothing would have happened to them. But they fear something that might happen. So of course the parent, if they have the courage to actually cry, a parent will come in and comfort them. There's no monsters under the bed, no monsters in the closet. That sound you hear is the sound of the new refrigerator. It was the dog on the stairs. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. Fear, this type of fear, is some evil that might befall us. And conspiracy theories work on this. Always. There's a group of people who are plotting something or have done something in the past, and it's going to affect us this way, either economically. They're doing something, and it's going to affect us economically. Politically, they're plotting against us. In the church, these are always kind of sometimes the most interesting ones, that people have done something or are doing something that are going to negatively impact us. We don't want to fear these things. Do not fear them. But we are to fear Him who can cast our soul into hell. That is, we are to fear God. Let Him be our fear. And so we know that there are two types of fear that we have towards God. Not this type of negative fear, but we are to have servile fear or filial fear towards God. Servile fear is the fear in which we will be punished for our sins. Fear of hell. It's the beginning of the first line of the act of contrition. Oh my God, I'm truly sorry for offending you. Why? Because I deserve the eternal pains of hell. I fear the loss of heaven and the pains of hell. This is servile fear. A little child, again, we look to children for this. A child fears his parent when he does something wrong because he fears the punishment. But this is not an empty fear. For that fear of punishment, though, will lead to hope. Because a child knows that the parent loves him. And that hope then will be shown in charity. And so we should feel that also towards God. That our fear for punishment then leads to hope. God is not just a fearmonger. But He wants us to trust Him, to look to Him. Why? So that we can know His charity, so that we can know His love. The more perfect fear, though, is, of course, filial fear. That is the son of the fear of a child to the parent. Filial. And this is the fear that arises not because something bad might happen to me, I might get punished, but it's the fear that arises out of my love for God, out of the love for the parent, that I am offending God. And this is the second part of course, the act of contrition, where we then say, I'm sorry because they offend you. This is the more perfect fear. The first, of course, servile fear is focused on me. The second, of course, is focused on God, that I've offended Him, that I have done something that has interrupted or damaged my friendship with God. This is the true fear that we are to have. You know, every time I hear a conspiracy theory, I always think about this gospel. The boat being tossed in the waves, I think everybody knows, can see the analogical meaning to this. These are the trials and tribulations of this life. The church will be tossed. The waves will wash over. And it will appear as though our Lord is asleep, not aware of the difficulties that we are experiencing in this world. And so we are not to be like the disciples, to have no trust, to be overcome by fear. Do you not know we are sinking, Lord? Do something. He knows exactly what's going on. You know, in the Creed, when we talk about God together as a Trinity, we only mention one title. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty. He is the Almighty. There is nothing that will occur in this world that is not outside of His power. That no matter what the rumors that we hear, is not beyond His vision. is not beyond his ability to bring something good from it. So just like in today's gospel, our Lord calmed the waves. He didn't have to wake up to do it. I think everybody here knows that he's God. He could have just slept right through it and the waves could have calmed and he could have done it himself. But he used that how? He woke up in order to show the apostles that he is God. He calmed the waves and they recognized that and they said, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, God, of course, even society, the world, everything works for his end. So, in this election cycle, and in general, we want to remember, we don't want to be overcome by fear. Yes, conspiracies will happen. Yes, people are conspiring against our freedom. They're conspiring against our church, our faith, and our beliefs. That's true. But do not let that overwhelm. Do not say conspiracy, but let the Lord your God be your fear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.